Good morning, church. So good to see everyone here this morning. I love and appreciate all of you, but this morning I especially want to tell our graduating seniors that I love you and I am so incredibly excited about what the Lord will do in your life and in your future. I'm so excited to watch what the Lord has in store for you. We're going to celebrate our seniors here in just a few moments, and I hope that this morning's lesson is an encouragement to them, but I hope that it's an encouragement to all of us. I want to kind of go back and remind us of the annual theme that we have this year: loving loyalty, unshakable commitment in response to God's unmerited favor. I was thinking about something that happened to me and my youngest son. It's probably been a couple years ago now. We were at Six Flags, which is always an experience in and of itself. We were at Six Flags, and we were standing in line for the ride, you know, one of those long lines. And as we were standing there, I was standing right beside the young man operating the ride. You know, that's quite a job, you know, making sure that all these lives are safe on this ride. And I'm sure this employee was very highly trained, but he was sitting by the control panel, all the buttons and switches that I have no idea what they did. And right above the control panel was a sign that should have made me feel pretty good. It was a sign that said this. It said, "Use your phone, lose your job." I thought that was pretty good, right? Yeah, because, you know, if he's distracted, I don't know what might happen, but I don't want him distracted, at least while I'm on the ride. But as I looked down from the sign to the young man, I bet you can't even guess what he was doing, right? Just completely scrolling, not just like glanced at his phone every now and then, that might be understandable, but completely absorbed. From the time the ride started until it ended, completely absorbed in his phone, just scrolling away and no clue what was happening on the ride. And there were so many questions I wanted to ask him. I wanted to ask him, do you not care if you lose your job? Does that not bother you? Is there any danger that something is happening on the ride that you really need to pay attention to? Is that even a possibility? I don't know. Do you care if somebody takes a picture of you on your phone right underneath the sign and tells your boss about it? Does that bother you at all? Would you be acting any different if your boss was standing over you watching what was happening right now? I mean, it was amazing. There were hundreds of eyes on him, but totally oblivious to what was going on, just totally doing what he really wasn't supposed to be doing. But I think at the end of the day, it's because there was nobody there to hold him accountable, nobody there that he was afraid that he was going to get in any trouble. But as I thought about his story, I thought, are we any different? Am I any different? Are you any different? Let's ask ourselves this question. Ask yourself, what do you do when there's no one there to hold you accountable? What do you do when there's no one there to hold you accountable? How do you talk when there's no one there to hold you accountable? Maybe no one that you know, no one that you love, no one that you fear, no one who is in authority over you. How do you talk about other people? How do you treat other people when there's no one there to hold you accountable? How do you drive when there's no one there to hold you accountable? There's no parent, there's no boss, there's no teacher, there's no policeman. How do you act? What do you look at on your phone? What do you look at on the internet? How do you treat people? How do you talk? What do you do? Where do you go? How do you behave when there's no one there to hold you accountable, when there's no one in authority over you, when there's no one that you love, when there's no one that you're trying to impress, when there's no one there that you care what their opinion of you might be? How do you act? What do you do? How do you speak? How do you drive? What do you look at when there's no one there to hold you accountable? Again, I mean, that's relevant and practical question for our seniors to ask as they go off and their lives change a lot, but it's practical for every single one of us to ask. And I think there's so much in the book of Colossians that's going to help us sort of wrestle with this question this morning. So if you have your Bible, look at Colossians chapter 1, because one of the themes throughout this short little book, and I encourage you to sit down and read the whole book of Colossians, but one of the themes of this book is the supremacy of Jesus. It goes back to what we've been talking about the last few weeks. Jesus is God, Jesus is human. Jesus died for our sins. Jesus was buried. Jesus has been raised. Jesus is Lord, and Jesus is coming again. And this truth of the gospel, this word of Christ, this message about Jesus, this changes everything, or at least it should. It changes everything. It changes how you behave when your family's around. It changes how you behave when your teacher's around. It changes how you behave when your boss is around. But it also changes how you behave and what you do and what you say when there's no one there to hold you accountable. So if you have your Bible, look at Colossians 1 and verse 15. Paul says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, and that means the preeminent one, the one who is in charge of all creation. For by him, all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. I mean, listen to those phrases. By him and through him and for him, and he's the firstborn. And whether it's thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, everything belongs to Jesus. Everything belongs to Jesus. Every boss, every supervisor, every ruler, every throne, every dominion, every authority, whether it's a visible authority or an invisible authority, whether it's an earthly authority or a heavenly authority, all things exist and were created by him and through him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn. There's that word again. The firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. In how much? In everything, all things. He is before all things. He is the head. He is the beginning. He is the firstborn, that in all things, in everything, he might be preeminent. Preeminent means to hold the highest place. This is the gospel, church. This is the gospel. The gospel isn't just you can get forgiven of your sins so that you can go to heaven when you die. The gospel is that Jesus is in charge of everything. For a long time, the creator of all things, the ruler of all things, Jesus, the one who created all things, that all things were created by him and through him and for him, he was ignored and pushed out of his creation. But in coming and dying and being raised and ruling and reigning, he is reclaiming everything that has always belonged to him. Verse 19, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. You see? He is making peace between heaven and earth. He is reconciling everything in heaven and on earth. He rules over and reigns over everything, and he's bringing everything back together. When humanity sinned, then there was a division between heaven and earth. We were exiled away from the presence of God. But in Jesus, the perfect human being, the one who is both God, divine, and human, he is reconciling, and who better to reconcile heaven and earth than the one who is both from heaven and from earth? He is both human and divine, bringing together heaven and earth. And he is in charge of everything, not just the spiritual stuff, not just the church stuff. Jesus is in charge of everything. And again, that changes how you act in every area of your life. We don't compartmentalize our life and say, well, this part over here, this belongs to Jesus, but this part over here, this doesn't have anything to do with Jesus. I want you to think about an organizational flow chart. You got one of those at work, like this, you know, something like that. There may be lots of different categories on that chart. You're somewhere on that chart, and you've got a boss, and your boss has a boss, and your boss's boss has a boss, and maybe that's a family flow chart, or maybe that's a flow chart in another area than work, maybe at school. but you have a supervisor, and your supervisor has a supervisor, and your manager has a manager, or your teacher has a teacher, and there's administration over them, and there's sort of this flow chart where there's somebody in charge of somebody else. And maybe you think, well, my boss or my boss's boss doesn't really care. Things aren't really fair. They don't work the way that they're supposed to work. I really only do what I need to do just to get by because nobody really cares and everything's kind of broken. Or maybe I only do what I'm supposed to do when my boss is watching or when they're around, but otherwise, what difference does it make because they do the same thing and they don't really care what their boss says? Or again, there is in every organization, every family, every neighborhood, every country, everywhere there is anybody in charge of anybody else, there is brokenness, isn't there? And at the same time, we are a part of that brokenness. And we might not be doing what we're supposed to be doing, but we excuse that by saying, well, you know, nobody is really holding me accountable, or my boss doesn't really care, and they're kind of apathetic, and they're not really doing what they're supposed to be doing anyway, and so I just do what I need to do just to get by. And we do that sometimes in school, we do that sometimes at work, we do that sometimes with our family, and we may act a certain way when there's a boss right there kind of holding us under their thumb, or a teacher right there holding us under their thumb, but when they're not around, we kind of do our own thing. But see, what we're saying in the gospel is that something has changed, that now Jesus is in charge of the flowchart. Jesus is in charge of the organization. Jesus is at the top of all things. Jesus is your boss's boss. Whether your boss knows that or not, Jesus is your boss's boss. And Jesus will hold your boss accountable for everything your boss does or doesn't do that they're supposed to do. And that's good news, isn't it? But it also means that Jesus is your boss. Jesus is your supervisor. Jesus is your manager. Jesus is your administration. Now, not everybody in your organization has gotten the memo yet. Not everybody believes this, that Jesus is in charge of everything. That Jesus is the boss of all bosses. He's the manager of all managers. He's the teacher of all teachers. He's the king of all kings. Not everybody knows that or believes that or accepts that. But you do, don't you? We believe that Jesus is our manager's manager, our teacher's teacher, our boss's boss, our king's king. And that ultimately, that's who we answer to. So whether we're the boss, or someone else is the boss, or we're the teacher, or someone else is the teacher, or we're the one in authority, or someone else is in authority over us, the ultimate authority, the one in charge of all things, is Jesus. And he's the one we answer to. So it doesn't really matter. In some ways, it doesn't really matter. I mean, it does. Jesus is going to hold your boss accountable or your teacher accountable or your authority accountable or you accountable for what you do and don't do. But in some ways, you can say, I don't really answer to them. I answer to the one in charge of them. I answer to the one above them. Jesus is my boss's boss, and he's the one I'm trying to please. Because sometimes, no matter what you do, you're never going to please your boss, right? Sometimes, no matter what you do, you're never going to please your teacher. And you work hard and you do this, but then at some point you just kind of give up because you're not really going to please them. But the gospel teaches us it's not really them you're trying to please anyway. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be the people that are around you. It shouldn't be the people that are above you. The one you're really trying to please is the one who is in charge of all things. And he's the one that even when your boss or even when your teacher or even when your supervisor or even when your manager is unfair and is critical and is rude and is bitter and is broken and is unjust and all of these things are going on, your boss's boss is not. Your boss's boss is fair. Your boss's boss is just. Jesus is kind and merciful. And if you are loyal to him and faithful to him, you can please him. Jesus is supreme over all things. See, but some of us are still living and working as if Jesus isn't really in charge of the world. We're living and working as if Jesus is just in charge of heaven, right? And that's true. Jesus is in charge of heaven, but Jesus is also in charge of earth. He's in charge of every ruler and power and authority. He is over all things. And that is incredibly good news. But it also means that it has to change the way we behave and what we say and how we act and how we treat people in every circumstance. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. Here's what he says in chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "If then you have been raised with Christ." Let's just kind of stop there for a second. Because that reminds us of baptism, doesn't it? At least it should. That you were buried with Jesus. All of you who are disciples, all of you who are followers of Jesus, you were baptized, meaning you were immersed in water, you went down into the water, and you were buried with Jesus. You surrendered your life to him. And you said, every aspect of me, every aspect of my life, everything I say, everything I do, everything I am, everything I have, my entire identity is tied up in who Jesus is. And now I'm dead to me and I don't live for me anymore. And then you were raised up out of that water. And now it's a different kind of life, a life that is lived in total surrender and commitment to King Jesus, in loyalty to him, in unshakable commitment, in response to his unmerited favor, out of gratitude to him. Not just loyalty. That's right, sound effects, I love it. not just loyalty, but loving loyalty. Loving loyalty. If you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Remember, that's Psalm 110 language. Jesus, ruling, supreme over all things, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, when Paul says, don't think about and don't focus on the things that are on earth, focus on the things that are in heaven, he doesn't mean don't do your job well. He doesn't mean don't do school well. He doesn't mean don't love your family well. He doesn't mean don't love your neighbors well. He isn't saying ignore all the stuff that's going on earth. He's saying ignore the org chart on earth and think about the org chart as it is in heaven. That Jesus is in charge of all things. And you look around down here and you say, well, now it looks like these people are in charge. And these people are unfair. And these people don't care. And these people are critical. And these people, I can't please them no matter what I do. And Jesus says, that's not the supremacy, the authority that really matters. Focus on the place where Jesus is, seated at the right hand of God. And realize that even if it looks like your boss or your teacher or your manager or your supervisor, even your own family member is being unfair and critical and you can't please them, your focus isn't on pleasing them. At least it shouldn't be, because your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden. You died to the old way of living, and so it doesn't matter whether they're pleased or not. What matters is Jesus pleased? Is he happy with what you're doing? Does he look at you and say, well done, good and faithful servant? Because that's what matters. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're overly critical spouse, boss, teacher, isn't pleased with what you do. What matters is Jesus pleased with what you do? And Paul says, when Christ appears, when Christ, who is your what? Your life. When Christ, who is your life, when he appears, then you will appear with him in glory. You know what that means? You're getting a promotion. You're getting a promotion. You're going to be glorified with Jesus. You might feel like you just can't get ahead here, now. You might feel like no matter how hard you work or what you do, it just doesn't seem to matter and nobody really cares, so what difference does it make? And Paul says, listen, you've got to work for Jesus, because when you serve him faithfully and loyally, when he is your life, then one day he's going to appear. And when he appears, then you are going to appear with him in glory. You're going to be glorified with him. You're going to be elevated with him. You're going to get a promotion. And so work to get a promotion, but not from your boss. Work to get a promotion from your boss's boss. And it might look like you're trying to please your boss, but you know better. It may look like you're trying to please your teacher, but you know better. It may look like you're trying to please your spouse, but you know better. Because if they're pleased, great, that's awesome. And if they give you promotion, fine, that's fine, that's all right. But even if they don't, and even if they're not pleased, and even if they don't care, Jesus does. And he sees everything that you're doing, and all the work that you're doing, and all of your loyalty, and all of your faithfulness, and he will promote you to the highest place. And you are going to share in everything that belongs to Jesus. Look at verse 16 of chapter 3, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ, the message of Christ, dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. See, this is why it's so important to be at worship. And I want to say that to all of us, not just our teenagers, our graduates who are going off to college, but it's important for them too. It's important for all of us that we sing these songs together, and that we read these scriptures together, and that we say these prayers together, that we teach each other with this message, so that this message dwells in us richly, so that when we go to work on Monday, or we go to school on Monday, or we're in our neighborhood on Monday, or we're dealing with our family on Monday, or whatever it is that we're doing, this message of who Jesus is, and what Jesus has done, and what Jesus is doing, and what Jesus will do, that this message dwells in us richly, that it is our identity, that it is who we are, that our life is completely and totally wrapped up in this truth, so that it changes everything we do. Sunday doesn't just make for a better week, it makes for a better life. When we're worshiping God and we're singing these songs and we're teaching each other, this message dwells in us richly. He says this, verse 17, whatever you do, that doesn't leave much else, does it? Whatever you do in word or deed, whether you say it or you do it, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again, you see, it's not just loyalty, it's loving loyalty. It's loyalty out of gratitude. It's a response to God for his unmerited favor. And he says, now, because of this, respond to him by doing everything that you do. Everything. Everything. How much does everything mean? Everything, right? In word, whether you say it, or indeed, whether you do it, do everything, whatever you do, do what? Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, which means this. It means that you are a bearer of the holy name of Christ. Everywhere you go, whether it's visible or not, there is a marker on you. There is a flag on you. There is a banner on you that says, Jesus follower. Jesus follower. Everywhere you go, you have Jesus' name plastered on you. The Holy Spirit is God's mark, God's seal that you belong to Jesus. His name is on you. And he says, whatever you do, everything you do, whether you do it at work or you do it at school, or you do it in your neighborhood, or you do it with your family, if you do it when somebody's watching, if you do it when nobody's watching, if you do it by yourself, if you do it with other people, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Everything that you do should be out of loyalty to King Jesus. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Why are you looking at that? Why are you talking to people that way? Why are you posting that on social media? Why are you watching that? Why are you driving that way? Why are you going there? The answer ought to be in everything because of my commitment to Jesus. Because of what Jesus has done for me, I'm doing this in his name. I'm doing this in his name. So we ought to stop and ask ourselves about everything that we're doing. Can I really do that? Can you really do that in the name of the Lord Jesus? Because nobody else might be looking, but Jesus is. Nobody else might be watching you, but he is. There may not be a teacher around, or a boss around, or a policeman around, or a spouse around, or a parent around, but Jesus is around, and he sees you. And can you honestly say that you're looking at that in the name of the Lord Jesus? Can you honestly say that you're speaking to that person in the name of the Lord Jesus? Can you honestly say that you're doing these things or acting this way or saying these things in the name of the Lord Jesus? This reality that Jesus is in charge of everything has to change the way we do everything. He says in verse 18, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, don't provoke your children lest they become discouraged." I mean, this is radical, isn't it? Because he says that the way that you live in your family is an expression of your loyalty to Jesus. The way you do family is an expression of your loyalty or your disloyalty to King Jesus. And he says, wives, listen, you've always known, and especially in their culture, they've always known that they have to submit to their husbands. But he kind of turns things upside down. But he says, now your husband has a boss. Your husband who has someone in charge of them. And when you submit to your husband, it's really more about you honoring Jesus. Because sometimes your husband isn't going to be the husband he's supposed to be. But your job is to honor Jesus. Your job is to be loyal to Jesus. He says the same thing to children. Children, obey your parents, not because your parents are always right. Sorry, I hate to tell you. Your parents aren't always right. Not because they always make sense. Not because they're always consistent. But because this pleases the Lord. And then he says to fathers and to husbands, you're not the head honcho anymore. Dads, husbands, you're not really the one in charge. You have someone in charge of you, and you will answer to him. You will answer to him for the way that you treat your children, for the way that you treat your wife. You will answer to him. And your children and your wife, if they're really honoring the Lord, they're really not doing it for you. So don't get a big head here. They're not doing it for you. They're doing it for King Jesus. Because now Jesus is in charge of all things. And now all of you, whether you're a husband or you're a wife or you're a child or you're a parent, all of you submit to King Jesus and do everything you do for him and out of loyalty to him and everything in his name. Then he goes on, verse 22, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Again, this is good news, isn't it? I mean, we could read this and we could say, well, I would rather Paul just say all the slaves are free. And I wish that that had been the case in the first century. But that couldn't be the case right then. But what could be the case is saying to them, okay, now you have a new boss. You have a new master. And it's not your master that you're really trying to please. It's your master's master. It's your boss's boss. But that's true for all of us. No matter what we do, no matter where we work, no matter where we serve, we have a boss. But it's not really our boss that we're trying to please. It's our boss's boss. And he says, don't do it out of eye service, just when they're watching or when they're looking, because it's not really about them. It's not about pleasing them. It's about pleasing Jesus. And you can please Jesus no matter what kind of boss you have, no matter what kind of teacher you have, no matter what kind of authority is over you, you can still please Jesus. That's good news, isn't it? You can still please Jesus. Because I know sometimes you feel like, I can't get ahead. I can't, no matter what I do, I'll never make this guy happy. I'll never make her happy. They'll never be satisfied with the work that I do. Jesus is. And Paul says, from the Lord, you will receive the inheritance as your reward. He sees it all. He knows every night you stayed late. He knows that extra work that you did that never got noticed. He knows all the things that you're doing. And he knows how hard you're working. He knows how hard you're working as a mom. He knows how hard you're working as a dad. He knows how hard you're working as a child trying to please your parents. He knows how hard you're working as an employee or as a student. Even if nobody else sees it, he does. And he will reward you. Then he says, of course, verse 25, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he's done, and there is no partiality. That's true for both servant and master.
But then he says, "Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." He says, from now on, nobody can say, "I'm in charge, so I can do whatever I want." That's never true. That's not true of dads. That's not true of husbands. That's not true of bosses. That's not true of teachers. That's not true of anybody in any position of authority. You can't say, "I'm in charge. I can do whatever I want," because you're not in charge. You have a boss. You have a master, and you will answer to him. We all will. We will all answer to Jesus. And for those of us who are being loyal to King Jesus, that is great news. And for those who are being unjust and unfair, for them, the coming of the Lord will mean justice is finally served. And that's good news too, isn't it? It's good news knowing that justice will finally be served. But there is an incredible peace that comes from living consistently. You've lived a double life before, haven't you? I've lived a double life before, where I live one way when there's certain people around, one way when certain people are watching, but a different way when there's other people around. There is an incredible peace that comes from just living a consistent life, living to please Jesus, no matter who's watching or who's not. So here's how I want us to end. Loyalty to Jesus is how you live when no one else is looking. Loyalty to Jesus is how you live when no one else is looking. Maybe no one else in general. Maybe just nobody that you care about, nobody that you love, nobody that's in authority over you. How do you live in moments like that? How do you live when there's no one there to hold you accountable? Because you know, don't you, that Jesus is there to hold you accountable. Jesus is always watching. Jesus is always looking, not in this way that, "Oh, I just can't wait for you to get in trouble." He's watching to see your loyalty. He's watching to see your love. And he loves to see your faithfulness. He loves to see you going the extra mile at work, going the extra mile at school, going the extra mile with your family, even when nobody else notices, even when no one else cares, even when no one else pats you on the back. Jesus is there saying, "I saw that. I saw that. I saw your good works. I saw your love. I saw your faithfulness. And I can't wait to the day where I could tell you, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done.'" Loyalty to Jesus is how you live when no one else is looking. Being a Christian means that we surrender our entire life to Jesus. Not just our religious life, not just our Sunday life, but our work life and our school life and our family life. And maybe there's somebody here this morning and you're ready to turn it all over to Jesus, to die with him, be buried with him in baptism, and to be raised up to walk this new, this radically different kind of life. Maybe you're ready to make that commitment, or maybe you need to recommit your life to Jesus, or maybe you just need prayers and encouragement. Our shepherds are going to meet in the prayer room after service. You can meet with them, or you can come forward now as together we stand, sing the song.